Hey everybody, welcome to the Linux Cast. I'm your host, Matt.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Drew.
I just want to let you all know that be prepared for Matt not to be on topic, like, literally at all. My brain is all over the place. There's going to be rants. There's going to be tangents like you've never seen before, I'm sure. And Nate, just be very grateful that you're not editing this week, because the ums are going to be off the charts. It's going to be like every other word. It's going to be like, well, you know what it's going to be like. It's going to be bad. I was going to say something probably not good there, but
I won't bring my counter back up and just start clicking.
Yeah, you might want to get two. I'm just saying. both thumbs. Stupid camera. I'm going to back up just a little. I could probably push the monitor back. Anyways, I'm not going to worry about it. Who cares? It's not professional. It never has been. And welcome to LinuxCast. We're going to talk about Linuxy things tonight, or Linux adjacent things tonight. We're going to talk actually about YouTube and Linux and making a channel and all the things we do in order to make our channels as awesome as they are. And it should be fun. Hey, you want to know what? None of us are Mr. Beast. I mean, seriously. So, I mean,
oh, we're not giving $5 million away this week. Damn.
If he wants to give $5 million to us, I mean, we're not giving it away. I don't know about you, Drew, but I don't have $5 million to give away.
No, I'm okay.
So, I mean, unless there's something we need to know, in which case, Drew, we could
sending you a new camera.
Yeah, like we could use a new camera. Nate could probably use a couple more monitors, I'm sure.
Camera.
So, no, we're not. So we're in comparison to like that. No, but comparison to, you know, other people, we're good. We're great YouTubers, as evidenced by this very highly professional podcast that we do every week. All right. Anyways, before we jump into that nonsense, we're going to talk about our mini topic, which is people who shouldn't use Linux. I'm going to raise my hand and say that I probably shouldn't use Linux, given how the last few days have gone. I don't remember whose topic this was, so I'll just kind of lead off on it. For me, anybody who doesn't know how to install Linux probably shouldn't use Linux. That sounds very gatekeepery, and it is. But if you don't have the technical know-how to install it, you probably don't have the technical know-how to do stuff on it. But I will put a proviso on there in that if you have someone who like lives with you or like next door who knows how to do it and can do that stuff for you, then it's probably fine. But that's my overarching answer. It's like, if you can't install it, you probably shouldn't use it. What say you guys?
Good, Nate.
I was going to say probably your family, because if you install it for them, you're going to be the constant tech support the entire time. So get ready to lots of phone calls, lots of texts, and trying to figure out every little problem that they run across all the time.
If you think cloud only refers to a fluffy item in the sky, then you probably shouldn't be using Linux. If you believe that the terminal is just a place where the buses stop, you probably shouldn't be using Linux. If you think open source means the front door is unlocked, you probably shouldn't be using Linux. I've got a few more, but
we want to hear them. Absolutely. Jeff Foxworthy has joined the podcast.
If you hear cloud storage and start looking for rain boots, probably shouldn't be using Linux. You call tech support every time your Wi-Fi blinks, probably shouldn't be using Linux. Like, I got like 10 more.
I want to hear all of them. Keep going. Seriously, it's good stuff, man. I can't believe you wrote this. That's so true. Awesome, though, man.
If you ever ask, where's the start menu on any computer, you probably shouldn't be using Linux. If you think root is just something plants have, probably shouldn't be using Linux. If you think sudo is a fancy new dance move, you probably shouldn't be using Linux. If you believe that Control-Alt-Delete is some secret medicine that makes the bad stuff just go away, probably shouldn't be using Linux. If you wonder why Firefox isn't just some super fast animal instead of a web browser. Probably shouldn't be using Linux. If you believe the kernel is something that is annoying when getting underneath your dental work, you probably shouldn't be using Linux. If you think a package manager is a term for a delivery service, probably shouldn't be using Linux. If you think that you use by using one piece of software from a proprietary software from 1995, your workflow, and you can't live without it, you probably shouldn't be using Linux. And finally, if you think permissions are only when you have to ask out to stay out past your curfew, you probably shouldn't be using Linux.
I would like to add one. if you think the desktop is the place where you should store all of your files, you probably shouldn't use Linux.
I got one.
All right, go ahead. We could do this all night. This is great.
if you think your mouse means you have to go get a mouse trap, you should be using a computer, period.
All right. That was the most fun I've ever had in the podcast. I'm just saying, that was great. All right. Anyway, so that sounded very, very gate creepery. And I know that some people are going to say, well, this is the reason why Linux can't be successful, is because you Linux nerds decide. Every time I say Linux nerd, by the way, I have to touch that. It's literally in the contract. Because you Linux nerds.
You got to rub the penguins too.
Keep the. I don't think most people notice that the penguin is there. You know, it's on both sides too. Like, yeah, it's over there. Anyways, I think that people think that the Linux nerds kind of like do this thing, like, oh, you know, you're too stupid to use Linux. But really, it's all about your level of effort and expertise, not us, man. We're here to hold your hand, but not that tight. All right. Now that we pissed off all the noobs, let's go ahead and move on. Let's go ahead and move on to the main topic, which is our YouTube channel. So, Drew, I believe that this was your topic.
Honestly, I didn't even remember that, Matt, until I read the notes that you had.
The reason why I don't think it really matters is because I did completely reword it, so it might as well be fine. The way that I put it in the notes, if I can remember, is the making of a YouTube channel, Linux user's perspective. So there are certain like programs that we use that we should talk about, probably things that we use to record, things that we use to edit, things that we use to live stream, stuff like that. So we'll talk about those things. There's probably things that we do in regards to like replying to comments, dealing with spam that you get randomly in your email, because all of a sudden you get 1,000 subscribers, you're the next hot shit, and brands are all over you, and they're not real brands. They're like, here, give us your banking information kind of brands. We probably should talk about a few other things as well. So where do you guys want to start? You guys want to talk about the software first?
Sure.
Okay, let's go and talk about the software first. So I think that we'll start with you, Drew, because you do things a little bit differently for sure. So why don't you talk a little bit about the software that you use to make your videos?
Yeah, I only use one. Oh, well, that's actually not true. So, I mean, when I record videos, I guess the whole process is what I need to kind of explain. But like we talked about, was it last week or the week before last when we talked about hardware? We talked about Suckless last week. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about hardware. And I use an Elgato a video capture card. And so when I do that, I'm always using a different computer. And that goes to the recording computer, which is the one I'm using right now. And I use OBS. So OBS is the software that I use to record my videos. But I don't do anything else. I have a microphone, a computer, and the video capture into OBS. So that is the process to actually get it in the can, as they say.
Okay. What about you, Nate? I'm assuming you probably use OBS too, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the only one that's readily available that's free and pretty decent and has quite a few plugins if you really want to play around with it.
Yeah. I think I want to take a different track, you guys. I too use OBS, but I also I have this love-hate relationship with OBS. And I think it's because I've been doing this for 6 years. And well, and that's not in YouTube terms, that's not a long time, but it's a long time for me. And there have been times where I legitimately looked at OBS and thought, oh, this is the greatest piece of open source software I've ever seen. There've also been times where I've looked at OBS and said, wow, that is the biggest flaming piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. Why isn't this working? What is it doing to my camera? Why isn't audio being recorded? Why can't it capture a screen? What is Pipewire? Like, you know what I mean? Especially there's a transition there. I know Drew still hasn't gone through this transition period yet, but the rest of us have, where they were moving from Pulse Audio to Pipewire, and Pipewire was supposed to be like this replacement for Pulse Audio, but it ended up like, oh, we're also going to make it do video. And OBS was like, okay, you know, we're going to do this too. And in order to do that, you had to have I've lost the term. Basically, you had to have another program outside of it that allowed you to have permission to capture the screen. There was that period where just those things didn't work half of the time, and OBS wouldn't talk to them half of the time because everyone had their own. I use OBS. I wouldn't use anything else because, I mean, I've used simple screen recorders like when I first started out. Like, that wasn't too bad when I wasn't on camera. But if you need to do multiple scenes, OBS is like the best thing you can use. It also, if you do it for long enough, we'll have periods of time where you just want to set your hair on fire because it's like, what are you doing, dude? Like, seriously, just why can't you work? Like, I ask nothing else for you other than record my face, record my screen, record my audio. This is maybe I'm asking too much. I don't know. OBS is definitely the thing. I'm curious. So, Nate, I know you have multiple. I actually searched for your channel because I added both of you guys to my channel's homepage this week, and I searched for your name, and you have like four channels. Like,
shouldn't.
Like, you should
just be one.
Because there's definitely two Nate picks.
There's one that I use for like actually watching videos, and then there's my actual YouTube channel.
And do you have one for gaming?
Used to.
So he has one YouTube channel, but also there's three YouTube channels. I'm just saying, I searched and there's a couple of them. Anyways, the reason why I asked is because have you done like live streaming stuff? I don't even know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I used to be a Minecraft YouTuber back in the day.
That is a piece of information I needed to know. Like, seriously, Minecraft?
Oh, yeah. I was big into it.
Do you still play Minecraft? Because I'll tell you what, I've never touched it. I'm curious.
Do I play it? No. I got so burned out of it because that's all I used to play.
Okay.
So, yeah, I kind of moved on to better, fancier graphics.
Okay. It went from 8-bit to 16-bit. You know, exactly. The fancy pants. All right. Drew, you have become a live streamer in the last few months.
Yeah, actually, I had one today at 6 o'clock. It was in celebration. By the way, I mean, it's May 20th, 2022 was my first video. It is now May 20th for anybody that's watching this later. It's May 20th, 2025. So it's the anniversary of my third, 3-year anniversary of my first upload to YouTube. And I've been streaming more and more simply because I just think it's fun. Yeah, it's the only thing. That is my one, you know, that is my one kind of like, priority in order to do YouTube is, if I'm not having fun, I just won't do it. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me to do it that way. It's the same process. I just put it in OBS and hit stream, and it's the same thing. The only thing that I don't do that you guys do is, I don't show my face on any of the videos. I just have the screen that I'm working on. So that kind of eliminates one element from any kind of like failure point, that that's what we're talking about. I record, you guys actually edit the videos, and I don't edit anything. I simply just kind of like pause it so that it's just a snippet that I'm happy with, and then I string them together. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I use a command line tool in order to just like one plus MK one dot MKV plus two dot MKV, and then that output. And that is the extent of my editing.
I'm actually kind of jealous of that workflow, because Nate can tell you Resolve just does not like me. like it does not like that I have an AMD card. It doesn't like that I'm on OpenSUSE. It doesn't like that I'm white. I'm pretty sure it's just all sorts of hates Matt. I've had so many problems. And it's all Nate's fault, by the way. Maybe happy isn't the right word, but I was content with Caden Live. And then he was like, well, you know, I will edit your podcast for you, but I'd really prefer to use DaVinci Resolve. And I'm like, okay, like a dumbass. If I had just said, no, I'm sorry, man, we're going to have to use Caden Live all the time, or you're going to have to render the podcast, I would have been so much happier and richer, because I wouldn't have had to buy I wouldn't have had to buy it. So, I use Resolve, and I love it. I also want to kill myself sometimes. And Nate, that's your what's your experience with video editing?
Mine works.
I screw you.
Okay, so in all fairness, if you're going to use Linux, and I'm specifically saying if you're going to be using video editing software, especially Resolve in particular, do not get an AMD card, because you're going to have to run through some hoops. It's just coding the video. Okay. I'm sorry. It's just going to work.
I really need to rant about this again. So if everyone knows I like OpenSUSE, it's like literally I have a sticker. I really like this sister. I think it's really good. But and this is not just an OpenSUSE problem, but you cannot get AMD Pro drivers on OpenSUSE. It's impossible. And anybody who says they have done it is either a liar or is a wizard of some kind. Like they have magic that I don't possess, because I've tried every guide that exists on the internet to do it. I've asked in the OpenSUSE forums. I've asked on the AMD forums how to do this, and nobody knows. And a few people say, like, oh, yeah, you can kind of do it, but you have to extract things from the dev package in order to do it. Like, no, I'm not. Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. OpenSUSE is a big distro in Europe. Like, it's a big distro. It's not huge here, but OpenSUSE is based on SUSE. You can't tell me that there's no corporation out there ever that uses any AMD cards for something. And I guess if they do, they just don't use SUSE. I mean, that feels like it's just stupid. And it's not even if you can say, like, oh, it's because it's an RPM based distro. Red Hat and CentOS and Rocky are RPM based distros, and Rocky Linux is like the distro that Resolve says you should use. So it's just, it has all to do with AMD. So it's the dumbest thing ever. Someone created something called DaVinci Box, which is basically DistroBox that installs a Fedora container that then will install your Resolve in it. And it worked for a long time. And then my hard drive failed and I had to reinstall OpenSUSE. And since then, I've had nothing but problems. I've gone so far as to install Windows on both this computer and on the laptop. That's how desperate I am. The problem with Resolve isn't that it has these problems. The real problem is that once you've used it, you can't go back. It is impossible for me to use OpenSUSE or Caden Live now. It's just, it's horrendously slow. It doesn't do half of the things that Resolve will do. Like if you have a graphic, like my intro that I use for my videos has a level of transparency at the end. So it's basically a stinger, a transition. So it goes away and it reveals my face. That doesn't work in Caden Live at all. Like, I don't know why. I don't know if it's the stinger transition problem or if I have to do something different. I don't know. It's so something. I know I'm going on about this for all, but like, this is the thing. Like, if you're going to be a YouTuber, especially a Linux YouTuber, you're going to have to make these decisions. Like, you can be like Drew and do really simple stuff, right? Or you're going to have to invest yourself into learning this stuff. And I admire Drew for not doing that. I sometimes wish that I had never decided I wanted to put my face on camera and do editing. But also, I can't keep myself from saying the word like I've tried. I've gotten way better at it. Way better. Like when I first started, it was like I was just every other word. I've gotten better, but still I do all the damn time.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. DistroTube said it's not a great editor though. Katie and Love is a million times better.
He's talking about the PTV or whatever it is that is a GNOME editor, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say, because Resolve is like
he was talking about the GNOME editor.
Yeah, if I know DT at all, he's never touched Resolve with a 10-foot pole. It's proprietary garbage.
Probably not.
So and that's pretty fine. There's nothing wrong with Caden Live, really. I mean, the fact that it's open source, it's not corporate backed, so there's like a huge corporation. It's very impressive that it exists and is as good as it is. Like, very impressive. And like I said, if it wasn't for Nate, I would still be using it. Yeah, I can't go back to it because I'm so into the Resolve workflow now. I have all my key bindings and they're hard to replicate in Caden Live. Half of the transitions don't work. Color correction's not anywhere close to being the same. Being able to, you can edit audio right inside of Resolve. You can't do that in Caden Live. There's just so much more you can do, and I make a fucking flat pack. Why can't you make a flat pack? Just do it. Okay, it wouldn't solve the AMD problems really, but it would make it a hell of a lot easier to install. Like just
actually it would, because they could just package it right into the flat pack of what they need.
Well, they could, but they probably because of the proprietary nature of it. I mean, they don't even package half the codecs unless you buy the studio version of it, right? So, but I would pay another $300 or more for a flat pack. Like it's how I mean, I'd only do it once. I'm not going to subscribe to the damn thing, but I would pay significant amounts of money for a flat pack that I could keep and would stay updated. You know, that's how, like, installing this piece of software, I'm rambling here, but the amount of pain and suffering I've had to go through in order to get this program to work on Linux just a little bit for small periods of time is insane. I mean, I've installed Gentoo before. I've attempted Linux from scratch. I've daily driven like Debian and like every distro you can think of, Slackware. I've used it, maybe not extensively, but I've used it and can say that I can legitimately do those things. Resolve has stumped me time and time again, and there are people in the chat like, why don't you just stop using it? I can't stop using it. It's like fucking cocaine, man. You can't get away from it. You know.
Okay. Well, I don't think they realize too, like in Caden Live, and the bug's still there. Like if you have multiple audio clips that you're putting together, you have to like literally mute the very ends and sometimes even the fronts of that audio clip, because otherwise it will do a loud
squeak,
like pop. Yeah. And in Resolve, you literally just slap it together and then you can like go in there and say voice oscillation. Okay. Put it at 85%. It literally takes everything else out and just your voice comes through. That's just awesome.
Yeah, that whole cut squeaking when after a cut is the reason why I wanted to try something different. I mean, like legitimately. Yeah. That's why I was looking for another open source option. An excellent chef in the chat asks, are there any suggestions for video editor on Linux? Caden Live is the suggestion. Anybody who says anything else, it doesn't. I mean, Resolve is an option if you are a legitimate, like you want to make this a thing that you do. Right. Like I would not recommend this to Drew. I mean, like you don't need it, Drew. I mean, there'd be no reason for you to do it. Right. I mean, even Caden Live is too much power for you. Like you just do the thing you need to do.
Not only that, I tried it a couple times and I just like this. You know, how me and QT based applications are not friends. That's just a fact.
There's just too much stuff going on. Right. There's just too many buttons. Yeah. So, I mean, I would not recommend Resolve to anyone else who's not going to put a lot of time and effort into it, and also who doesn't know, like, if you don't know a lot about Linux and you use certain distros and you have an NVIDIA card, like, you, there are things that you have to check off if, in order for me to recommend Resolve to you. Nate, you're probably the same, right? Like you wouldn't recommend that to, like, your mom wants to become a video editor. You're not recommending Resolve to her. Nope. Right? So Kden Live is the answer for you, Executive Chef.
Backup would be Shotcut.
I've never had any luck with any of the others. Like, they're all like, okay. Like, there's tons of other ones, but, and everyone tells me, like, oh, like, Olive is the future. Like, that thing has been alpha for my entire life. You know, I'm 40 years old. You know, really is. I mean, there's a good chance that Cosmic Desktop will come out before that comes out. Matter of fact, I would guarantee it that Cosmic will come out before Olive comes out of alpha. Okay?
It comes out in 2026, man. They have a release date.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just literally one dude. But it's impressive that there's one dude working on our video editor, and it's as good as it is. But it's never going to be something that you can use as a daily driver. And then there's that one guy, like, oh yeah, I use Blender to edit my videos. Like, the fuck is wrong with you? All right. So the last piece of software I had to talk about is Audacity. Do either guys use Audacity other than for the podcast?
I don't.
I use Reaper for other things.
Okay. What is, like, I've never actually used it.
Recording voice.
I've never actually used it before. What is it like?
It's a lot more complex than Audacity, but I like it because I can do multiple different. I can actually do multiple audio streams, so I can edit two different lines at the same time. If I'm playing music behind it, I can also include that. Like, I can split it out in multiple tracks, and edit each one, and then do a master compile together.
Soup to go asked, didn't Blender try to be a game engine at this point? Man, Blender is like the Emacs of graphical applications. It does literally everything. So probably. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so that's basically for my workflow. I use OBS and Audacity to record, Resolve to edit. But there are some, like, background things that I have to use in order to actually facilitate that, especially nowadays that I can't edit all on the same computer. I have an NFS share that shares one of the SSDs in this computer to the rest of my network. And then I use, and I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but WSL is a life-changing thing that Microsoft invented. Like, it makes Windows usable. Did you know that you couldn't mount an NFS share before, like, easily? With WSL, it's like two commands in Ubuntu, and it, like, mounts it, and then Windows has access to it. You can even set up AutoFS, so auto mount, and it's just a systemd service in the background running in Ubuntu, and it just loads it every time you launch the Ubuntu as an administrator. It's just like, it's so good. Like, I hate to say anything good about Microsoft, but if it weren't for that, in fact, Nate knows this. I messaged him and said, I'm sorry, Nate, we're going to have to go back to Kden Live. I can't do it. I can't get this to work. And I was like, I don't want to install Windows, but I'm going to try it, but I don't expect it to work because all my drives are like EFT4. And on this computer here, that means having to figure out how to mount EFT4 on Windows, which doesn't support it. And then once I got the WSL thing to work, I decided the laptop, but still. So the background technologies are almost just as interesting. So let me ask, I kind of did this completely out of order. Let's zoom out just a little bit and ask this question. What made you start your YouTube channel? Like, what was the thing that said, you know what, I'm going to be a Linux YouTuber? If you ever said that, or maybe you said something, you know, much less ambitious. Drew, I'll start off with you again.
I don't even remember, frankly. It's one of those things where you're like, let me try that. You know what? Let me, it's like, I really like this. And I believe that the first video I did was actually on i3. And I wanted to do something. It was like, oh man, i3 is cool. Let me try putting a video out there about i3. And so I was just like, it was kind of just a mental exercise more than anything else. How do I do this? Cause I don't know how to do, I don't know how to put a video on the internet. How, where do I start? And so it was a learning mental exercise and I thought it would be fun. And that's what, I mean, I had no, you know, no preconception about like views or subscriber. I was going from literally zero to where, you know, I didn't know anything. And so I'm having to ask my son, who was a teenager at the time. He was a teenager at the time. And I'm like, how does this work? I mean, I've watched YouTube videos, plenty of yours, Matt, plenty of, you know, a lot of the other YouTubers out there. I didn't want to be just like everybody else. I wanted to be kind of like, because at the time, I don't know if you're, you know, at that time, Matt, a lot of the YouTubers were simply distro hopping, and they were going from one distro to another distro. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I know that. I know that for a fact. I mean, I'm going to be using Debian and that is all. And so I thought, I know there's not that many people using Debian as far as being a YouTuber is concerned. Let me try that. So that's where I started. I was just like, seemed like a fun thing to do.
Yeah, there was a big time period there, like a couple years ago, where everybody was like, well, let's take a look at the latest version of Snotnose Linux. You know what I mean? Like it was just like, and here's all the stuff in the application drawer that they installed, and it's the same stuff every application. Oh, it has LibreOffice in it. Like, oh goodness, I never seen a distro with LibreOffice in it before. Can't tell me more. That was a hard time. The problem with I've had this. I made a whole video on that thing, so I won't go off about it too much. But the whole thing about that is like. The reason why we all, like, I did it. Like, I will fully admit to saying I did those videos. And then because people watched them, like those were really popular videos for a long period of time. I don't know. Like, I know DT does more in-depth stuff, and he'll look at new distros and stuff. And I know a couple other big, like, Naked Linux Experiment. He'll look at new releases of some things, but not even, like, small ones. Those are very popular for them. They do a very specific way of doing it, and they have their brand. But there was, I don't really want to call the guy out, but there was a guy who, like, literally all he did was the distro first look thing, and every single video was exactly the same. Every distro was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, even if it was just like a point release, like, it was just a thing that people did, and it was like they did it because it got views. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing something because it gets views. I've done many videos because I knew it was going to be popular. I've done many videos that I thought were going to be popular and did shit. But sometimes you just do things because you want other people to watch. But that was definitely a time period. What about you, Nate? What was your reason for starting a Linux YouTube channel, or a YouTube channel in general?
Well, the first one obviously was that. It's Minecraft.
Okay.
Let's be honest.
He still has the swag.
I still do. Matter of fact, I still collect all the books that come out just because. I don't know.
Do you think you're ever gonna play Minecraft like again?
I'm sure when I have kids, probably. Okay. And we'll probably set up a little server for them, and then they'll be wanting to play with dad. So yeah, I'm sure. But, So my channel took a different approach when it comes to Linux, because I'm not 100% focused on Linux, though everything I'm running is mostly all Linux. I noticed that there was an empty gap for people that like hardware and use Linux, because almost like every Linux, and you just mentioned it, every Linux YouTube channel was like a review of this particular distro, this distro. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, but I want to see actual hardware. I want to see actual setups. I want to see actual, you know, if you're a crazy person that's like soldering three motherboards together, I want to see that. And, you know, building a whole new BIOS to make it work. I want to see stuff like that. And so for me, when I started my channel, I've been thinking about it for 2 years. And then I got invited to be on here, and I was like, well, I better get my butt in gear. And so now I'm here. I guess you can say I started from the bottom, now I'm here.
All right. So I admire the fact that you try to do hard work. I would, like, when I first, just way back when I wanted to start a YouTube channel, I was like, I want to review phones. And the hardest thing you can actually do it to get into is to review phones, because phones are fucking expensive. Like, you can't just go out and buy a new phone every 3 days because it's a new one. And in order to make a YouTube video, you have to have content. So I was like, fine, I'll just make a YouTube video about, or a YouTube channel about applications on a phone, because that'd be much cheaper. But even that is really kind of hard to do. And it's like a flooded space. Like everybody and their brother have made a YouTube channel about, Android or iOS applications, right? And that, especially back in the day, I'm sure I've gotten away from it now, but there's still probably a lot of them out there. For me personally, why I start, everything leads back to this podcast. Like this is this is the reason why I've created like everything, right? I started using Linux because I wanted to create this podcast. I created a YouTube channel because this podcast existed and I needed a place to put it online that wasn't, Apple Podcasts. And initially that's all this channel was going to be. In fact, for the first 3 months of this channel, that's all it was just like, if you go back, all you'll see are audio versions of this podcast. There's no video whatsoever. It was just a white, it was like my previous artwork with the LinuxCast logo and I looked up on Google how to do an audio form over the thing. Like that was like the height of my editing. So that's the reason why. And then for whatever reason, in December of 2020, I can't blame the pandemic. For whatever reason, I decided I was going to make a video on ZimWiki. I don't remember why I did it. I wanted to do it. So I made a video on ZimWiki and I was like, that was kind of fun. I had entertaining. I didn't think I was talented at it. I did not have any delusions to think that I was good at it. I still don't have any of those delusions. But it was fun. So I was like, I'll make another one. So I made a video every single day from January 1st of 2020 till like the middle of that year. And in March of 6th, 2020, DistroTube shouted me out on his channel. I was like, damn it. Now I have to keep going, So also thanks DT. I really appreciate it. I'm here because of you, man. But that's the reason why I'm still, and I'm just, it's 6 years later. It's crazy that I'm still going. That leads me to the next question I have for you guys. How do you come up with your content? So where do you just randomly think, new window manager or I made a script or something like that. Do you, like for you specifically, Drew, I'm going to Drew first, but Drew, you come up with a lot of these scripts or whatever. Do you come up with scripts because you want to make videos about them, or do you do scripts and then make one? What's the kind of like the order for your video idea generation?
Because scripts is definitely part of it. I get like locked into wanting to create something that I think is cool and hopefully helps somebody else. But more importantly, it's helping me because I like doing it. I think that automating processes for installation is something that interests me. I'm interested in automation, period. But overall, I think the script that automates some task really interests me. And so then after I'm kind of like done with that, then I will then like kind of like roll it out to the mat, to everybody and say, here, this is what I've been working on for the last couple of weeks. But overall, I'm just kind of like, okay, well, that's an interesting thing that I learned this week. Let me throw that up on there and see if anybody else has the same need or is interested in the same thing. Like, it's like, hey, better Fox, which is basically a user.js file that you can use to harden your Firefox experience. And that was cool. And Nextcloud, and how to install that on a Ubuntu server. And that's cool. And, to your point, to look at the last 3 years and look at, all the installation videos that I've done. More importantly, I think than anything else, I've just wanted to, I just wanted to do something that I thought was either beneficial to me or beneficial maybe. And then because of it was beneficial to me, I was hoping it was beneficial to somebody else. The one, and we talked about this before you and I met, the one video that has way more views than anything else is an installation video for ButterFS. You know, hands down, like triple, if not quadruple any other video, because I wanted to learn how to do that. And I wanted to know, and I thought that maybe it was helpful to somebody else. You know, that's bottom line. I just think it's fun. And if I'm not interested, I just won't put it. And that's why I actually don't have like a schedule either. If I don't have anything to say, then I'm just not going to say it, you know?
The ButterFS thing is really interesting because do you guys remember Ermano? Like,
yeah.
Like he made a Arch Linux install 5 times a week. And the half of the stuff was like, here's how to do install Arch Linux with ButterFS. And like, that stuff was really interesting, but I do not, that I know he got another job, but it doesn't surprise me. He got kind of burnt out of it because he was doing the same thing literally over and over again. While it was very helpful for a lot of people, like it just, you know, like, wow, that's very dedicated. Nate, what about you? How do you come up with your video ideas and stuff like that?
You want the actual truth?
Yeah. Don't lie. I mean,
I look around my office and see what I haven't recorded. And then I make a video about it and talk about it. So on the flip side, part of my channel is also like, you know, we're not going to live here forever. And so in a way, YouTube is a, you know, place that like I can share the passion that I have with technology, and it will technically kind of be left on there until the channel dies and they completely delete everything. But, you know, at least be up there for a while. And so, and I also have a lot of interest in it. Like I'll see something cool, and if I can afford it and if it's really cheap, then I'll buy it and make a video about it. Cause it's, yeah, anything hardware related. I like tinkering, I guess is my words.
We had no clue that you enjoyed monitors, Nate. Just, we had no clue about that. It was a complete and utter surprise.
I should actually make a video about monitors since I have so many. But the fact
that you haven't is an utter travesty. I mean, it's like literally the biggest criminal thing you've ever done. Like how dare you?
So I do have an idea though that I think will kind of go along with it is that I'm trying to get some Linux people to send me pictures of their actual setup. I don't want to see your rice. I want to see your actual setup. Because I want to see what people actually use. Because, you know, a lot of people have good ideas. And I think it'd be really cool to share that. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'm a Linux user, but I also have all this cool hardware and tech and whatever. So
that sounds like a good idea. That's one thing that I've never... I know this sounds really weird, guys, but I'm not a social person. It amazes me to this day that I had the utter... intestinal fortitude to put myself on camera. Like literally the first few videos I was not putting my face out there. There was like an 80% chance I was going to be a VTuber, you know what I mean? One of those guys who just had an avatar on screen. And I 100% understand that mentality. There's it takes a lot of courage to put your face out there on the internet for other people to see, you know. And and it's not just like there's two different types of courage there. Like putting the content out there, like all of us do, it is courageous because it exposes you to people who are anonymous on the internet. There's a lot of great people on the internet. There's a lot of assholes. And it's just the way that it is, right? But there's another part of courage, is like just showing your face on the internet is hard because this is actually us. Like we're not wearing AI glamours. Like there's no like we're not actually, you know, looking other than what we are. So it surprises me to myself to this day that I actually ever decided I was going to do that. And then to go back to answer the question, how do I come up with my ideas? I have no clue, man. I will be sitting. Usually, this is going to be way too much information. I usually be sitting on the toilet and like, oh my God, That's a video idea. And yeah. I put
TMI.
It
on,
I yeah, know, TMI. I but I'm telling you, there's some, or taking a shower, like for whatever reason, the bathroom is the best place for Linux ideas. I don't know why. Or I'll be, you know, very rarely will I be sitting here at my computer doing work like for my main job, and I'll think of something to record. It's usually when I'm out and about doing something different, and it'll just pop into my head like, oh my goodness, that little thing. I've had problems with those because you guys know this and you guys have known me for a while. My memory is shit. And many times I have come up with an idea like, oh my God, this is a great idea. Nobody's ever recorded it before. I'm going to record it. And then I realize I recorded it 6 months before, you know, like I made that video. I've done that multiple times. In fact, just recently I did this whole, I recorded a whole video about 10 things Plasma could do better. I've made the video twice before I looked after I record. I really got to get better at looking before I start recording. You make notes. Yeah, I have Notion.
Well, I know, but I'm saying like these are all my YouTube ideas. It comes in spurts. Like I'll sit down and like throw 10 of them in here. Then I'll sit down and throw 10 more in here. Like over time, I guess it just builds. Yeah. But it comes in spurts. Like maybe if I'm out like doing woodworking or something, or if I'm just out and about and all of a sudden I pick up a piece of, you know, roast and I put it in my buggy and I'm like, oh crap.
I think that's a fair thing that people, a lot of times when you're brainstorming or if, you know, and you're in that mode, because we've done entire podcasts on note-taking, for example, you know, we will, if you sit down and you say, okay, let's be creative that, and then do it like solid for like 30 minutes, you can really kind of like come up with some stuff. I always tend to want to like set aside some time for that kind of like activity. Because I think that overall we, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, domino effect, you know, you get rolling and you get like better ideas mm-hmm. that way.
And a lot of times one idea will spawn another idea and then we'll, you know,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Drew, I was not laughing at you, but the entire chat has devolved into toilet humor.
I was looking at that as well.
Like I had to laugh, dude. I'm a dude. I had to laugh.
That's how constitutional laws are passed.
But I'm pumped.
All right. So the next question I have to ask for you guys is, how do you deal with criticism? Like, I know I'm going to get more of this because my channel is a little bit bigger, but even when I was, you know, 10,000 subscribers, 1,000 subscribers, there were still people out there who you know, said things that, you know, like a lot of people are really nice about, like, oh, I just disagree with this. Like my latest review, which I'm surprised Drew didn't comment on,
I watched the whole thing through, which is what you said right from the very beginning.
I thought there was going to be a snarky comment around it. But the thing is, like, in that video, there's a lot of people like, yeah, I just don't agree with this. Like, and like, why did you compare these two? Like, and everyone who says, why did you compare these two? Is like, you didn't watch all the way through, did you? Because I said at the very end, Debian is a very good distro. And there's I think I said it at the beginning, there are legitimate reasons to use Debian. And, you know, I think Debian is one of the things that I could use after I'm done with OpenSUSE. I could find myself using it. I'd be very, very happy there. I wanted to let people, that's beside the point. It's like, there were a lot of people in that comment section that was like, you know, I disagree with this. And I have that a lot. There's also people like, you're fucking stupid. There was that whole NixOS fiasco a few weeks ago where I literally got death threats, telling people to kill myself.
That's crazy.
Right. So this, the question I have to ask you guys, how do you deal with that aspect of being a YouTuber? Nate, we'll go to you first this time.
I mostly ignore it. I'm just going to be honest. There's sometimes one that will get me, especially if it's something that I really know. I remember one time somebody was arguing about me with DaVinci Resolve. Don't do that ever, because I really know it. And what they were saying was wrong. But at the same time, there's a lot of times I'll open my phone because I have it on the YouTube studio, and I'll see the comment and I'll just bust out laughing because it's just like, okay, buddy, you got me. Okay. So I guess I'm more lighthearted. I don't know. Trolls don't bother me.
Hmm. What about you, Drew?
This is going to sound very Pollyanna-ish. I haven't had that many problems, frankly.
You're just too likable is what you're trying to say.
And the one or two times that I have been, that I've questioned something, I actually asked you about. So I think you kind of like as a, you know, even though you're 20 years younger than me, you know, it's kind of a mentor type, you know, deal where you've had your YouTube channel a lot longer than I have. And I went and it had actually the one time I remember specifically, there was a political aspect to the comment. And it was one of those things where I was just like, I don't even know how to handle this. This is stupid. So do I remove it? And how do I deal with this kind of thing going forward? One of the things that, and I know Matt always says pro tip, you have certain like control over comments. And if there is a specific keyword in there for you to eliminate comments, take advantage of that. You know, whether it's like, you know, whether it's just, you know, terrible language or if it's political in nature or something like, just take advantage of using filters to get certain comments out so you never have to see them.
Yeah. I 100,000% agree. And just to go on top of that tip, in the back, if you're going to do this, go into that back end and put your address, your street address, your city in there. That way, in case somebody does happen to find out where you live and they want to dox you, YouTube will automatically just delete that comment. Like, it will be gone. Nobody will ever see it. It doesn't mean you're not going to get doxxed on some other thing. And frankly, I don't give a. I mean, there are not so many Matthew Webbers out there in Michigan that somebody probably couldn't find me if they wanted to. But this way, you know, at least the malicious people who might be able to find your address somewhere, they can't just pop it on you on the thing, or they find your phone number. Like, I put my phone number in there too. Like, if somebody has my phone number and they want to get back at me by posting it in the YouTube comments, so everybody has it, they can do it. It will automatically get deleted. I'm pretty sure I learned that from Mental Outlaw. Because you know, he's had some problems with doxing and stuff in the past too. So he just pops that right in the filters or whatever, and it just can never be there. But there are other ones like, and this is gonna make me sound stupid, but I hate political nonsense in my comments. Like, every time I make a Firefox video, every single other comment is like, oh my god, they're so woke, you know, they're so woke. And first off, what the fuck does that word even mean? Who made up that word? I want to know, because I want to slap them fucking silly. That's the stupidest fucking word in the world. And I don't care what your views on that word, you know, like the actual thing are. I don't give a shit. But leave it out of my comments, because I don't want to know. Whether it's left, right, center, I want all the political stuff away from me as much as possible. And I know some people are like, oh, that's just naive. Everything's political. I'm not political, okay? I want to mess around with bash scripts all day long. You know what I mean? I want to try to fix this stupid resolve bug that's fucking causing me to use Windows. I want to do that. I want to make sure my fucking camera, which I spent so damn much money on, will stop auto-focusing for no damn reason. Those are things that I want to do. That's not political, okay? And if you're going to come into my comments on a video that I'm talking about where it has nothing to do with politics, and you're going to get in there and get into political stuff, I'm probably going to delete your thing. So I put the word woke, and I put a couple right-wing and a couple left-wing things people are always saying in that filter. And if you say that, and your stuff's getting deleted, like, it's just getting deleted. I'm not putting up with you. That's has no, go leave that shit on someone else's channel. Not same. Mine. Like, just, I don't care. Like, and I don't, like I said, I don't care if something is woke or not woke or what's your ideas on it. I just don't want to deal with it. Leave me a technical comment. You know,
I think I know why I'm so like, don't even care about the trolls, period. Because I'm a gamer, and if you ever been into a actual game, especially in the voice chat,
if you play Call of Duty, and you know that there's like a 4-year-old kid who can kick your ass in every single game, he's just saying your mother is a big ass
Yeah, it's rough. So after a while, you just gotta tune it out. And I'm kind of like you. Like I could care less. I like hardware. I like playing around with different things, and you know, and like I just want to make some bash scripts and put them on my floppy drive to you know.
He's gonna use that, Drew. He's gonna use that as a prop every single
episode. It's a badge of honor, is what it is.
We're gonna have to have a bingo slot just for Nate shows his floppy drive off.
Hey. By the way, you want to use Linux? Well, it's still supported, so just letting you know.
Yeah. Don't use floppy drives unless to back up your system. You're probably going to need more than one. I'm just going to say you're going to need more than one. All right.
On the plus side, though, I feel like over the last 3 years, the friends that have been forged and the overall community that has been really, really supportive has been my favorite part of doing any of these videos, you know, whether you're helping people, which was the intent, but the friendships forged and the community camaraderie and just chit chatting and stuff like that has been outstanding and well worth any kind of like troll behavior and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, completely agree. Like the vast majority of people, really good people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So there's like 2,500 people in my Discord. I don't even think we need moderators at this point. I mean, it's just very rarely do we get like Nate's a mod in there. Like very rarely do we come across someone who's like, that guy needs to go. You know what I mean? And I mean, that's like maybe once every couple months and maybe even not even that. Usually it's just us making fun of people who get automated because they keep saying the F word over and over again and can't realize that that's just not allowed. like the number of times they've just had their thing. Go ahead, Nate.
Just be aware. This trigger finger is ready for the ban hammer just in case.
Yeah.
It's always loaded.
I think we've banned like 6 people in the entire 4 or 5 years since it started. Like it's just it's just not.
We've actually unbanned some people and they came back.
Yeah, usually if we do ban someone and they message us saying like, "Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't mean to do that," you know, come back. Then there were a couple that would just like say, "No, I'm sorry, we don't want you, like you just can't handle it." But most people are just good people, you know, and they just want to have, you know, fun talking about Linuxy nerd stuff, and I think that's great. Yep. Right. And you're right, Drew, without the YouTube channel for all of us, really, none of us would be here today. If Drew didn't have a YouTube channel, I wouldn't have known to ask him for the podcast. You know, if I didn't have a YouTube channel, Nate wouldn't be able to edit it. YouTube bringing people together.
It's true. It's true.
That's the most positive spin on YouTube you've ever heard in your life.
Absolutely.
Well, it's more of those you have to like cut off all the fat and then you're left with the little piece of steak that's there.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. And if you don't know, I like beef.
I was going to say there had to be a cow joke there somewhere, you know. No. Okay. I'm not making fun of Nate because he has cows. He just has cows. Okay. He's from Oklahoma. Of course he has cows. It's literally in the state constitution. You want to be in the state, you have to wear a cowboy hat or you have to have cows. One or the other.
Or both.
You can have both. If you really want to be Oklahoman, you have to have cows, but
It says we moo, sucker.
That's horrible. You're fired. That's just horrendous. All right. Anyways, anything else on this? Drew, I know you always make a little outline for stuff you want to talk about. Is there anything on your list there that we didn't talk about that you'd like to?
Actually, I didn't. I was going to. This is the one time. The only thing that I wrote for this podcast was the box.
Those are great.
I have one.
Go ahead, Nate.
Well, I was going to say, if you're going to do YouTube, it does help a lot if you really plan your channel. And what I mean is, if you're going to make a video, actually plan out like the notes and just, you don't have to like put a whole huge list and do a whole full script, but at least like have some highlight points. That way, when you're talking or whatever, you can go back and look at it real quick and remember. And I know Matt's just one of those that turns it on.
I'm listening to this like you're speaking English, but I don't understand the words in the order that you're putting them in.
but it does help though. Like it, cause I'll write notes. Well, when I say write notes, I mean, I will literally write notes and I'll have them to the side and then I can look at them if I'm like making a video and trying to remember exactly what I want to hit and whatever. So
I think that's spot on, Nate, because I kind of do that as well because, like I said, I don't edit. You know, I just kind of like piece everything together. And so if I don't have like a game plan going in, then it gets like progressively harder to actually accomplish anything. So that's spot on.
Now Matt's turn.
All right. So I am notorious for not being able to script anything. And despite my eternal love for everything note-taking, and you guys know that I love note-taking applications, I could make a... Drew, would you like to do a podcast that's only about note-taking applications with me?
It would be my pleasure.
So see, I'm just saying, we would have a ball. I don't know how long the podcast would last. It would probably eventually run out of content, but we could probably do several years probably worth of content. Like if we just did once a month, we could do a few years. That being said, I don't note take my YouTube videos hardly at all ever. And when I do, I swear to God, this is how I do it. There's sticky notes here. And this is from one of the videos I just recorded on a music player. You guys can actually read it, but it has all the key bindings that I needed to talk about during the video. And the most hilarious thing, and I swear to God, this is true. I had to go back and record because I didn't look at the fucking note. I made the note, didn't look at it, so I had to redo it. And this one here is a list of all the things OpenSUSE does. I don't even know what this one's for. It has here's this list: Zipper, Yast, Installer, Package Manager, Forums, Pacman, not the Arch thing, but the repo from OpenSUSE, OBS, ISOs, Community, Drama, and NVIDIA. I'm assuming that these are things that OpenSUSE could do better. By the way, OpenSUSE killing Yast. It's going away, which is actually kind of sad.
Makes me pointless.
Shut up, Nate. Nobody asked you. You're fired again. I swear, you like it. You like a distro that just happens to be different than everybody else's, and all you do is get shit about it. Granted, I have talked a lot of shit, so it's
like me and Drew is on the same page. I mean, Drew's on the base of my distro. My distro is based upon his.
So what you're saying is that your distro is also pointless and we also just use Debian, right?
Unless you want to use Resolve properly.
It really all does come down to the fucking program. God damn. All right.
I do have one last point. I just want to make it quick. So the last one I had in my notes was, when you start making your first video, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be good. You're going to have issues. Just use what you have. Don't walk out and spend a ton of money to get all this equipment. It comes in time. So a lot of the knowledge that I have was from making like music and also doing Minecraft videos. So I already knew a lot of editing skills and stuff. So, but I had to learn over several years. So whatever you have currently, just use it. So like Caden Live's free, use it. If you want to use Audacity to record a separate audio, use it. It's all free. So use what you got.
Just on top
I
of
wanted to go ahead, Nate, or mention ahead, one more thing other than, you know, Nate uses Kate. Well, no, sorry. He uses Resolve, but he's, you know, he's saying Caden Live is free. You should use it. If just so we're clear, the one that I use in Terminal is called MKV Toolnix. It's a GUI editor. It's like actually MKV Toolnix -GUI if you want to install it in Debian. I don't even use the whole thing. I just use one package from that called MKV Merge, and that's how I actually string my videos together. But Matt actually used that as a nugget of the week at some point. MKV Toolnix.
I did. It's because it allowed me to rip my DVDs. You know, that's what I was doing. A couple things. First off, on your point, Nate, and just to everybody out there, if you have any doubts that that's absolutely 100% true, go back and look at my first videos. Go back and look at the first videos like MKBHD, Linus Tech Tips, All of them, every single one of them, like it doesn't, Mr. Beast, if you want to go back and look at his first videos, every single person started off exactly like everyone else. Their first videos were terrible. They were usually using their phone to make their videos. And especially if you've been doing this for a long time, phone cameras were atrocious, like really, really bad. So that's the way a lot of people started, and you don't need, I would be happy with a phone camera at this point because the camera I keep buying is terrible. And Drew, I have a question for you. How did you come across the whole idea of doing it that way? Like I've never seen anybody really do video editing in that way before. Like, did you find that somewhere else, or did you just know that that existed?
I guess I'm going to guess that, cause I don't really have that good a recollection as to how I did. I was like, okay, let me use OBS to like record this segment. And so it recorded in MKV format. So at some point I just said, let me just record the next segment and I'll try to like, you know, put them into an editor and like string them together and stuff like that. And then I was like, isn't there a better way? Can I just do this in command line? And there was, you know, I found like some obscure like Reddit or just a Phoronix type thing where it just said, use MKV merge and use this command line and string them together like that. And I was like, let me try that. And it worked out I had 11 segments. So 1.mkv through 11.mkv the other day. And when I ran the command in my terminal, it actually like combined everything and resized it to the point where it was about the same size as one of the segments. So it's like phenomenally good and like streamlined. And yes, I actually read someone's comment, you can use FFmpeg, and I have, to actually clip. If it's like too long, I like added something. It's like, oh, I don't want to redo that whole thing. I use FFmpeg sometimes just to like trim like a little bit off of there just so that it streams better. But overall, it's just the simplest way for me to do something that doesn't require like hours of editing. I just don't have the time, and I don't want to do it. That's the fact. If my videos suffer because of it, I just don't care. Frankly,
I don't think anybody thinks they do. The other question I have is: have you scripted the process of you doing it? Like, can you just like feed can you point your a bash script to a directory where all your clips are, and it just does it for you?
Yeah, I haven't done that, so that's a really good suggestion. Though I've never
just says good idea.
Yeah, it is a really good idea.
Can you just, I was just thinking, I was like, how would I, if I were going to do that, how would I do it? I was like, well, I would just create a for or a while loop or something like that, and just have it read through everything that's in the thing, and then match it matches .mkv. And granted, you'd have to figure out how to do it in order. So it had to, you know, make sure it's doing 1, 2, 3, 4, and then, you know, whatever. But yeah, I'm going to create a bash script right here online. It's great. Yeah. All right. Anything else that you guys want to talk about this before we jump into the nuggies? We've been going for an hour and nine. So we actually, about usual. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the nuggies of the week. So this is our section where we get to basically tell about things that we found very interesting. So it can be an app, it can be a trick, or it can be a tip, or whatever. It can be basically anything. We just want to share something with you guys. So Nate, your nuggie of the week.
So I recently, I literally ordered it yesterday. It got here today. It is a newer 22-inch magic arm with Desk C clamp. And what this bad boy will do is solve all the editing or all the video shooting problems that I'll have. So this solves everything. It has the phone stand, so I can use the phone with my actual lapel mic. It has a C clamp, so it'll actually clamp onto the desk, and it has multiple functions. So like if you put it around a pole, these things will come back and you can pole mount it. So this is going to solve everything. And it's got like so many different ways that you can turn it and stuff. It's pretty awesome. So I'm pretty excited to finally get this in. which means that I'll be able to finish the video that I was working on and start my new videos.
Cool. Another thing we didn't talk about and we don't need to talk about is just what we do when a video fails, like it doesn't do well, or it didn't turn on the audio when we were supposed to. we probably should cover that, but that's fine.
Delete.
Yeah. Drew's like, damn it, that 6-hour video still bugs me.
It does. I'm salty. Are you in
it's just, what did you say, Nate?
Is it RMRF? I always get it backwards.
RM-RF. Yeah. Stupid dyslexia. I understand that shit. I did it the opposite way today. Anyways, Drew, your nugget of the week.
All right, this is a little bit on the long side, but let me preface this nuggy with a little bit of backstory, because last week we did the Suckless podcast and we talked a little bit about ST, and I walked away because I even mentioned it in the podcast that I was like, man, I should try to like patch ST a little bit more to my liking, and I did. I used about 7 or 8 patches for ST. And I wanted to, in my DWM, I have 2 terminals that I use. One, I was using Tilex in Quake mode, okay, so that I can kind of like use a separate keybind and have it kind of open and then, basically kind of disappear, like a scratch pad, okay? So I thought to myself, well, ST's already installed. Why do I need Tilex? So let me make my Tilex, sorry. ST's already installed. Why do I need Tilex? And so I went ahead and thought, let me just try to use ST rather in Quake mode or something similar to that. All right. So in order for me to do that, I used an application called T-Drop, and it's a simple install. You get it from GitHub, and basically what it does is it drops down or uses or makes it seem like a scratch pad for terminals. And there's other kind of functionality there as well, but it was a simple install. And now I have a keybind that actually opens up ST in a kind of Quake-like, basically. So
I've used T-Drop before, and it's cool for like if you want a scratch pad in like GNOME or Plasma, right? At least before Wayland was a thing, because I think it's Xorg only. The question I have is, you don't use a scratch pad patch for DWM?
I do, but in this situation, I'm using the scratch pads only for Ranger and Pulse Mixer, and that's it. Mm. So I wanted it to be a little bit different. So I'm using T-Drop as just in basically Quake mode.
Makes sense. I have scratch pads for literally, I have 12 scratch pads. So I overdo it just a little bit. My entire bottom row of my keyboard has a scratch pad attached to it, like every single one of them. And some of them have 2 with a shift key. So I'm a little obsessed. I love scratch pads. All right. So mine is an application. It's a self-hosted application called Commentario. Now, I have been blogging on my own personal blog for the last month or so. I challenged myself to blog every single day for a month, and I have like 3 days left. And, you know, I've done pretty good, and I just wanted to do it. And I use Ghost as the hosting platform, but it has its own built-in comments. I didn't like them. And I used Disqus for a little while. And if you guys know anything about Disqus comments, those things are a privacy effing nightmare. You have to have an account in order to sign in. They do allow anonymous, but it's not really anonymous. And they have advertisements. It's really, really bad. But they're easy to set up. That's why I chose them. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with Ghost, which I didn't know I was going to at the beginning, but I'm going to do that. So I need a good commenting system that is self-hosted and has the ability to be private and whatever. And there are a few of these things out there that you can use. And the one that I settled on is something called Commentario. It's Commentario. I think that's how you spell it. It's a comment, but without the double M. And it's pretty easy to set up as a Docker container. So Docker nerds rejoice. It's very, very easy to set up. And you just embed it into your page with a couple lines of code. And I'm actually running that on my home lab server. Like it's not running on the server. Like the VPS hosts the blog, so that's always up. But the comments or whatever are hosted on the computer that's sitting underneath his desk, and it just works. It's very, very cool. It has like voting of comments, so you can vote things up and down. The author of the blog post or whatever can star things. It has moderation tools. It can tie into thing like a Kismet, so it can like do spam detection and stuff. It's really, really good. So if you run a blog and you want to have comments on it, Commentario, really, really good. Like so easy, I could set it up. And so like I've had some failures. If we'd done a what have you done lately kind of thing today, one of the things I would have talked about was trying to figure out how to get self-hosted blog or website analytics up and running. And I failed spectacularly on that over and over again over the last 24 hours. And then someone on Mastodon recommended, it's called, I should actually look this up. It's called PikaPods. Drew, have you ever heard of PikaPods?
No.
I was actually, when I first heard about it, I was like, this is basically a self-hosted containerized VPS, but just for one application. So you create a pod. In this case, for me, it was for an analytics thing, but it has a whole bunch of things like Gitia and a whole bunch of stuff like that, right? And you just select how much like RAM or CPU and storage you want. And for like $3 a month, you can host this one application. It has 100% uptime, does all the updates for you. And I got that up and running with blog or website analytics. And that was just like, it just did it. It was like, this is effing amazing. And it was like, I put $50 in the account. It'll run it for like the next 4 years. For like $50. It was really, really cheap. It was really cool. When I first saw it and I didn't know what applications they offer, I was like, Drew, why the hell didn't we try this with Nextcloud? They don't offer Nextcloud. If they tried Nextcloud for like $3 and then like the S3 bucket on the end, that would have been good.
Yeah.
It would have been very cheap, but they don't offer Nextcloud. Anyways, I think that's it for us. So we are going to, I have a couple housekeeping things. So the first one is that this is actually the podcast for the week. There's going to be no editing done for the video this week because I don't know if you noticed, I've been a little ranty. It's because the fucking stupid computers hate me and I should use Windows. There's something going on with my camera. I got a new camera and for whatever reason, the switch between there has messed something up. I don't know what. I can't have Audacity and OBS running at the same time. I don't know why. Well, they'll run, but the camera or whatever will glitch out. And I was like, well, maybe it's just a new camera. So I hooked my Brio back up, did the exact same thing. I actually have another 4K camera here that kind of looks like the Elgato thing. Did the exact same thing. So I'm like fucking swimming in cameras. And they're doing the exact same thing. So I turned Audacity off and OBS works fine. I don't get it. But anyways, the point of me talking about that is that the live stream is going to stay up today. Actually, I should actually make sure that that's going to be remain to be true. I don't want to unlist it. But anyways, the live stream will stay up. There will be an audio version coming out on Saturday. I'll edit that. So be prepared for it to not be very edited at all. I mean, because I'm not going to do as good a job as Nate does. I'm just not interested in doing that anymore. Nate is the podcast editor. And he will remain to do so. Please don't leave me, Nate. Please, for the love of God, don't make me edit this thing. I swear to God, it will end. It will be the end of the podcast. I'm not doing it. Anyways, because I just say way too often, I can't do it. Anyways, so that's one thing I know. I said while talking about ums. It's inception. Okay, but anyways, the thing is, I've lost my train of thought is the problem here. It's like I've completely lost where I was going. So anyways, the live stream will stay up. That's the video podcast. There won't be a video podcast on Saturday, just this audio. Okay. Also Lug on Thursday evening. If you're watching this live and you want to join the Linux user group, do so 8:15 PM Eastern time. Join the Discord or watch me on Mastodon or watch the YouTube channel. You can figure out how to join. We'll have a good time. We do that twice a month. The other one's early and comes around on the second Thursday of the month, 11:15 a.m. Eastern time. I got the times right. I should at least get credit for that. After that entire nonsense about 30 seconds ago. Yeah, stop with the golf claps, Nate.
Golf clap.
Asshole. you guys know how I do endings, right? This is how I do endings. It's like I get to the nuggies. It works fine. My brain says, we're done. I'm out of here. You're on your own. And I just can't do it anymore. I do the same thing in my videos. Anyways, contact information, email at thelinkscast.org is the best way to get in contact with us. That is the email address. You can also head on over to the website, which is thelinkscast.org. You'll find all of our contact information there. It's linked at the bottom. You can find Nate on YouTube, youtube.com/NatePicksTechWorld.
Tech World.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll get it eventually when I don't have to study it.
That's
exactly what you should do. You should get a shirt that has it on there. I'll never forget. That's exactly. Thank you, Drew, for doing that. I'll forget you if you ever come in here with a shirt that doesn't have it on there. I'm gonna forget what your channel name is. I swear to God. Anyways, yeah,
but Drew has that YouTube money. I don't.
I will.
You know how many? Okay, so we just did a podcast on YouTube. I have made $100 in 3 years. Just saying, $100 in 3 years.
It would make me feel like bragging if I told you how much I've made. So
I know.
and like I said, like I'm not a millionaire or anything. I made a couple thousand bucks. It's great. Actually, I don't even know how much in total I've done. I haven't looked. But anyways, just seriously, I will make you a T-shirt just so we should put it on a hat so I can't remember if I can remember. Anyways, Drew is Just a Guy Linux, just like the shirt says. He's on YouTube. He does live streams now because he's so Gen Z about all this stuff. He's just too good for videos is what we're trying to say. Anyways, I'm really upset that he always live streams at dinner time and it pisses me off because I want to watch because there's a good chance if Drew's live streaming, he's installing Debian. If I miss it, I'm going to know how to install Debian. I watch every single one of his Debian installs. So go give both these guys a subscribe. If you haven't subscribed to Linuxcast, youtube.com/Linuxcast, do that right now. I swear you won't regret it. And if you do, you can just leave. It's easy to unsubscribe as it is to subscribe. It doesn't cost anything. So subscribe to all of us. Subscribe to every Linux YouTuber you come across. I was going to... There was a section there where I was going to say who inspired you to be a YouTuber for Linux, but I didn't get to it. But anyways, I think that's where we'll end it because Matt's getting rambling. It must be time for his bedtime. So that is it. And Nate's making fun of me again. And he's like, thank God I don't have to edit this shit. Thank God I don't have to edit this shit. Thank God I don't have to edit. Anyways, that's it for this one. We'll see you guys later. See you next week.
He'll say somebody give him the penguin pillow so he can go to sleep.
I need one. Ha ha ha.